Hello, and welcome to This Week in History class. I'm John Larson. This week we're going to be looking a lot at the 1960s. We've got a lot of great stuff, so we're going to get going right away. So right off the bat, we're going to have Courtney tell us a little bit about pop culture in the 1960s.
Hi, my name is Courtney Smith, and I'll be talking to you today about pop culture in the 1960s. The style of music was changing, and the Beatles and the Beach Boys could be heard everywhere, whether it was on the radio, 8-track stereos, or portable record players. The average house cost between $12,000 and $27,000, and gas only cost 30 cents per gallon. Popular toys during this time included Barbie and G.I. Joe. The Brady Bunch, Gilligan's Island, and Hogan's Heroes were some of the most watched television shows. People known as hippies or flower children were also a popular thing in the 1960s. Some characteristics of hippies were long hair, bell-bottom jeans, tie-dye clothes, peace sign apparel, and were also known to be associated with incense. They could be seen holding signs saying free love and peace not war. These people dropped out of political life altogether. Now I'll talk about some of the events and inventions in the 60s. In 1967, the first handheld calculator was invented by Texas Instruments, costing $2,500 per calculator. Also occurring in 1967, the first heart transplant was performed and the first Super Bowl was held. In 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated. In 1969, Neil Armstrong became the first man on the moon. Thank you for listening to my podcast on 1960s pop culture.
Thanks for that overview, Courtney. Now we're going to get to a little bit about something that many of you have heard of, actually probably been to, and that's Walmart. Seth is going to tell us a little bit about the history of Walmart and how we got from what it was at the beginning to what it is today.
I'm almost positive that all of you have seen, heard of, or been in a Walmart grocery store in your lifetime. I'm here today to tell you its origins and why it was and still is important to us. Walmart was founded by a man named Sam Walton in 1962 in Rogers, Arkansas. Two main goals of Sam Walton in a retail business was great value and great customer service. He also believed that low prices were the most important thing in a small business, even though Walmart has now grown to be one of the world's largest corporations. It all started in 1950 when Sam opened the small store called Walton's 5 and 10. Sam was so inspired by the early success of his little retail store that he opened the first Walmart in 1962. By just 1972, his Walmart business was worth $172 million. New stores were starting to pop up throughout the entire United States. Even in the depths of the recession in the 1990s, Walmart sales were successful with an increase of sales by 40%. Walton's business helped the American economy greatly during this recession. Even though Sam Walton died in 1992, his legacy is still going strong. He received the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award right before his death. A well-known quote from Sam Walton says, "If we work together, we'll lower the cost of living for everyone. We'll give the world an opportunity to see what it is like to save and live a better life." Thanks for listening to This Week in History class.
Thanks, Seth. Now, with that background, we're going to get in a little bit to the entertainment. The entertainment in the 60s was quite impressive. It was very deep. There was a lot there. And so we've got a number of things this week. First, we have film in the 60s. Brianna, Tessa, Kennedy, and Adam are going to tell us a little bit about a number of the films in the 60s. Then we're going to focus on a specific one where Hallie, Savea, and Mackenzie are going to tell us about Grease. Then we're going to switch over to the television side, and Tristan's going to tell us about the show Laugh-In. And finally, Chase is going to tell us a little bit about one particular musician at the time, Johnny Cash, who is quite famous. So here is the last bit of This Week in History class.
The 60s were a time of change in rock and roll, society, and rights, and the cinema reflected that. With stars such as John Wayne, Doris Day, and Elizabeth Taylor, a lot of big things were happening on screen. The Alamo in 1960, The Thrill of It All in 1963, and The Graduate in 1967 were all movies everyone was flocking to the theaters to see. Along with To Kill a Mockingbird, West Side Story, and Bonnie and Clyde, the 60s also marked the success of Audrey Hepburn with her film Breakfast at Tiffany's. The original Psycho came out in 1960 with a positive reaction from the crowds. The death of Marilyn Monroe in 1962 had the majority of Americans grieving, but that didn't stop film from taking off with music industry's Beatlemania in 64.
But the 60s wasn't all success stories. Elizabeth Taylor's Cleopatra was a financial disaster, with the highest paid performer in Hollywood being the star, a costume budget of $200,000, and extremely extravagant sets. The movie was the most expensive of the time, adding up to $44 million, which is about $300 million today, from an initial budget of $2 million. It was also the longest American-made movie of the time, with it being around 4 hours long. Fox made up for the loss in the unexpected success of The Sound of Music in 1965. It surpassed Gone with the Wind as the number one box office hit of all time. It was the highest point for Hollywood's musical era. Eventually, it was moved down the second ranking spot by Grease in 78. Julie Andrews, fresh into the Hollywood scene, was a breakout star, with The Sound of Music and Mary Poppins being such successes on the movie scene. She is an Oscar and Tony Award-winning actress, starring mostly with musicals and eventually moving more into regular film.
Another big star in the 60s was Sandra Dee. Some people might recognize the name from the song in Grease. Early in the decade, she starred in Come September and met her future husband, Bobby Darin. She also appeared with him in Man Answers and That Funny Feeling. Sandra Dee found herself as a divorced in 1967, which marked the beginning of the end of her short-lived stardom. The 60s was a fun time to experiment with film and to see what stories caught Americans' attention. Many of the films in the era influenced what is popular in today's generation. Overall, the 60s were important for film development and upcoming stars.
The movie review that we did was the hit musical Grease, which stars John Travolta as Danny and Olivia Newton-John as Sandy. It is about reckless teenagers in high school back in the 1950s to 60s. They were all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
The teenagers acted recklessly and did whatever they wanted. They didn't listen to their parents or teachers. The parents were never actually shown in the movie, but were referenced a couple of times. One example is when the pink ladies were at Frenchie's house drinking and smoking, and Frenchie had mentioned that her parents would kill her if they found out what they were doing.
The turning point in the movie would be when Sandy and Danny started dating, and they both felt like they had to change who they were. Sandy started to do things that she felt were bad but needed to get Danny's attention. Danny started to change how he acted in front of his friends to impress Sandy. At the end of the movie, it showed how they were both completely different, but then they realized they didn't need to change anything about themselves. Thanks for listening to our movie review.
And now, from the beautiful downtown Burbank Nut and Bolt Boutique and home for the hopefully helpless, NBC tries once more to stamp out Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In was a sketch-based comedy and variety show created by Ed Friendly and George Slater in 1968. Broadcasted by NBC, this mod world starred talents such as Dan Rowan, Dick Martin, Goldie Hawn, and Arthur Stanton Eric Johnson, a.k.a. Artie Johnson. The show also starred some stranger types of people, such as Tiny Tim. Look him up, you won't regret it. All were famous comedians in the 60s that got their start on the show Laugh-In, except for Dick Martin, who was on The Lucy Show in 1962. Laugh-In carried jokes about drugs, homosexuality, death, politics, and more drugs, which was very daring for the 1960s. A running joke was all started because of the show's infamous line, "Sock it to me!" It was created on the show, and the line somehow found its way into Nixon's speech, leading to him winning by a million more votes. Voters later blamed Laugh-In for Nixon's win. Laugh-In was only intended to be a one-time TV special, which aired on September 9, 1967, but its debut was so popular that it was brought back as a weekly TV series. The show was then broadcasted every Monday evening at 8 p.m. for 45 to 48 minutes. Laugh-In was a show designed to play on the good things in life and not focus on that ugly war. The series did it so well, too, with its hilarious comedy sketches. It was a play on the love-ins and be-ins of the 60s hippie culture and dealt with terms derived from the sit-ins for hippie protests, from civil rights and anti-war demonstrations. With the show's hippie culture and comedy-based jokes, you could have guessed the use of marijuana was used before, during, and after the show by the cast. This did, however, make for some very funny bloopers and goofs during the show. With memorable moments such as Judy Carnes' "Sock It to Me," where when yelled she would either be punched or doused with a bucket of water, the first ever broadcasted ice bucket challenge, I should say, and the show's quickies, a fast series of comedy sketches, the show was always a part of family's weekly Monday routine, and was always on top. The show was so popular, it's TV's number one ranked for ratings from 1968 to 1970. The show's still a major success, staying in the top 30 all the way from 1967 and 1972. The show is still popular nowadays. It's on YouTube and still showed on NBC sometimes. This has been Ronan Martin's Laughing. Good night, Dick.
In this week's podcast, I will be talking about the 1960s music, and one of the artists that come to mind when I think about the 1960s music is Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash became the most influential musician in the 1960s and eventually into the 20th century. Johnny Cash mostly sung country music, but he also liked to sing rock, blues, folk, and gospel. Johnny's music showed compassion for minorities and others who were shunned by society, including prison mates. Johnny Cash was born on February 26, 1932 in Kingland, Arkansas. John joined the Army in 1950 and trained in Texas, where he met his first wife. After his service and discharge, he formed a band and landed a new record deal. By the early 1960s, he was a musical superstar. Johnny Cash got the nickname "Man in Black" because his good luck was always wearing black. Johnny Cash died September 12, 2003 because of his diabetes complications. Johnny had seven children. Their name was Roseanne, Carlene, Kathy, Rosie, Cindy, Tara, and John. Some other facts: Johnny started smoking when he was 12. John served seven nights in jail from all the incidents he had. Johnny Cash collected 19th century guns and unique book. Cash's favorite introduction to singing songs and songs was "Hello, my name is Johnny Cash."
Thanks to everybody who put those podcasts together this week. They did a great job. All right. This week, don't forget to do the flawed history. It is on music in the 1960s. And if you know anything about music, this should be one of the easier ones because there are some glaring mistakes. As always, if you want to follow us on Twitter, want to contact us, follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @TWIHC, @TWIC. And if you want to contact me or follow me on Twitter, I'm @TeacherJLars, and I'm on Instagram @TeacherJLars as well. As always, we want to really thank Ethan Frazier for putting together our theme music. And again, thanks for listening to This Week in History Class.